We're in Philippians chapter 1, focusing our attention on verse 6. Hopefully you were able to spend some time meditating on that this week and hiding it in your hearts. That was our kind of homework, was to see if we could memorize Philippians 1, 6. I wanted to open our time with some quotes from an interview that took place back in, I believe it was 2005, but an old television show, Larry King Live. He used to bring people on his show and ask questions of different beliefs and different topics and just ask them questions and see what they would have to say. And back in 2005, the individual will remain nameless, but it was a very high-ranking, high thought of individual in the Christian church, very sought after. Lots of people bought his books, and Larry King had interviewed other Christian pastors before, and they took a hard stand on the gospel. And as he then interviewed this individual pastor, he asked some of the same questions, and I just wanted to read to you their conversation. He says, because we've had ministers on our program who've said, you either believe in Christ or you don't. If you believe in Christ, you're going to heaven. And if you don't, no matter what you've done in your life, you ain't. That's Larry King. The response of the pastor was, yeah, I don't know. There's probably a balance between, you see, I believe you have to know Christ. I believe that, but I think that if you know Christ and if you're a believer in God, then you're going to have some good works. I think it's a cop-out to say I'm a Christian, but don't ever do anything. Realizing his guest had sidestepped the question and didn't answer it at all, Larry King then responds and he says, well, answer this plainly. What if I'm a Jew? What if I'm Jewish in my faith? Or what if you're a Muslim and you don't accept Christ at all? Then what? Response. You know, I'm very careful about saying who would and who wouldn't go to heaven. I don't know. King then responds again, if you believe you have to believe in Christ, they're wrong, aren't they? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I believe they're wrong. You see, I spent a lot of time in India with my father when I was young. I don't know all about their religion. I know they love God. I don't know. I've seen their sincerity that they have. So really, I just don't know. As shocking as those words should be to us, they were extremely shocking across Christendom. This pastor would later have to apologize, and he would do it in writing, doing it to his online followers. But the immense damage had already been done. The betrayal of Christ and the unwillingness to stand upon and preach the clarity of the gospel message of Jesus Christ was obvious in his interview. Even in his apology, the pastor would quote from John 14:6, a clear passage from Christ himself, where Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. You see, this passage, along with many others in sacred scripture, inform us that we can know. We can know the truth about salvation. You and I. As sinners, we can know for a fact if we've been forgiven for our sins. And we can have boldness, the Bible says. We can have confidence one day as we stand before the all-holy Creator of the universe. when he asks us, why should I let you into my heaven? This all-holy God, sinners standing before him, why should I let you, sinner, into my holy heaven? The Bible says we can have boldness when we answer that question. That we can know for certain. Other passages in Scripture, like John 20, 31, inform us of this truth as well. John says the whole point of his book, the Gospel of John, he's written these things so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have life in his name. You can know that. Later, he would write epistles. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you now, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You may know it. Earlier, he would say this, John 4:15-17, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected within us, so that we may have confidence on that day of judgment. And then we come to our passage this morning. Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. This morning we are going to take together of the Lord's table, a time when we remember and focus all of our attention on Jesus Christ himself, on his work for us on the cross, the truth of his gospel. And make no mistake about it, beloved, Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection on behalf of sinners like us, this is our only hope in life and in death. Therefore, this morning, my hope, my desire, is that we'll see clearly the assurity of eternal life that all believers in Jesus Christ possess. We must see this. I want us to see three things. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can know. What is the word? You can know. Say it. No, I can know this. You can know this, that you are saved, that you are being saved, and that one day you will be completely saved. We can know this. Let's ask God to help us as we go to his word. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for our church family. Thank you that my brothers and sisters are here with me with our Bibles open, ready to hear from you. God, you have prepared our hearts. You've readied us for this time. May this be a time of true worship, a time of surrender as we look to you and to the truth. God, the truth that all of us speak to one another, but so oftentimes in our lives, the reality that we're saved and we're being saved and we're going to completely be saved one day. The truth of that, God, is far from us. And we live in despair. We live lives filled with guilt and shame. Help us to see the truth of what the cross has given us. Help us to see the truth of your promises this morning, Father. That we would walk in it. And that we would be able to leave here victorious. And live victorious Christian lives dependent upon you and the work that you promised to do in each one of us. We ask this for the glory of Christ. Amen. So again, Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Remember this verse in the context of all what we spoke of last week. Okay, the Apostle Paul planted a church in the city of Philippi. He was the first to preach the gospel of Jesus in their town, and he led the first converts there to the Lord. He was the first. Okay, Paul then had to leave town, but continued planting other churches in other cities by preaching this good news of Jesus Christ. And the Philippian believers then joined Paul in his work. They partnered with him in the gospel. And through this, they formed a strong bond because of their partnership in the gospel. The true message that God has used to save each of them. The message that hopefully God has used to save each one of us here. They were now being used of God together. Paul and the believers at Philippi, though they were separated from one another, together they were preaching the gospel, and they were seeing others come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. This is the good work that's being spoken of here in verse 6. It's the good work that Paul is referring to, the salvation of their souls through their faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul now looks at them and he says these words. He says, I am sure of this. I'm sure of this. Okay, it's the same Greek word here that's used down in verse 25 of chapter 1. I have to turn a page to look at it. Okay, but what Paul is doing here is he is talking about how he is at the end of his life. There's a judgment that is coming. He's going to have to stand before a council. And he's going to proclaim the gospel of why he's in chains at this council. And they're going to decide, does he die or does he live? And he's going back and forth in his own mind. What do I want? What's God going to do? And he's saying, you know, I want to go and be with Christ. That's far better. But he says to remain. Life is all about Christ. It's all about knowing him and loving him and making him known. To live is Christ. And he says, for me to stay here, it's much better for you. He's having this conversation in his head and he's talking about it, writing about it to the believers at Philippi. And we come to verse 25 when he says, I know if I stay, it's going to be beneficial for you. So he says, convinced of this. He's made the argument. He's gone back and forth. But convinced of this, of the need for him to stay on their behalf, he says, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. It's the same word that is used up here in verse 6 that says, I am sure of this. It means to be assured. It means to have confidence in or to be convinced of something because of a very strong argument. Well, again, in verse 6, what is the argument that convinces Paul that he can say, I'm sure of something? The argument is that the Philippians had expressed faith in Jesus Christ when Paul was there. They had believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They had repented of their sins. They said, you are my Lord. I will follow you. And now they are serving hard for the one in whom they have believed. They're partners in the gospel. This is the evidence. This is the argument. They were serving Christ. They were sharing the gospel, even in the midst, as we'll see later as we go throughout the book, as they faced severe persecution. The same type of persecution that Paul faced when he was there at Philippi. So they were obvious partakers of God's grace and salvation. Paul says it this way, God has begun a good work within you, a good work of salvation. And our outlines, number one, belief in Jesus has resulted in our justification. Justification. It's a fancy word for salvation. What it means is, I am a sinner in infinite debt. I deserve the full wrath of God because of my sin. Romans 1:18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of man, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. It's right, it's just that God would pour out his wrath on me. Infinite in debt, there's nothing I could do to change that circumstance. But God sent his Son to die on the cross to pay that punishment. And God didn't just take that account, think of an account in a balance at the bank of infinite in debt. He didn't just zero the account. Scripture says Christ rose from the dead and he gives us every blessing that God in Christ possesses in the heavenly places. They're ours now in Christ. So we've gone from infinite debt to infinite worth, infinite riches. That's what justification is. God no longer looks at us and says, you're guilty. The truth of Jesus Christ, his righteousness has been given to us. We've done nothing to deserve this. We've done nothing to attain it. He died in our place at the cross of Calvary. He rose to impute his righteousness to us. And our sin was given to him on the cross. Justification. Belief in Jesus Christ has resulted in you being declared righteous before God, and it will never change. The sacrifice of Christ, his last words were this. Before he committed his spirit to the Father, he said, "It is finished." Everything that you need, it's finished, it's accomplished, it's done. No matter what you do, know this, beloved, no matter how you feel this morning, no matter how you come in here, all of us are sinners, and sin righteously brings a healthy guilt, which leads to repentance and faith. But oftentimes, our guilt, we can get overwhelmed by it. And we can focus so much on ourselves and our own performance. And we don't look to the cross and we can't walk victoriously. Because we're all focused on me and my failures. The truth of the cross, the truth of justification says, no matter how you feel, no matter what circumstances are going on in your life, you can perceive them negatively or positively. There are certain things that are true that you need to remind yourself of so that you are assured of something. And that is that God has begun a good work within you. You are justified if you have faith in Jesus Christ, and he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him then is not condemned. If you believed in him, you're not condemned. You will never be condemned. But whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. It's so important over and over and over again in that text. It says you got to believe. You got to believe. It's by faith, not by works. Believe in who Jesus is and what he's done for you, and you will be forgiven. You will be justified. It's super important to see something in our text this morning of Philippians 1:6. salvation is, justification is this good work within us. And we just read several verses that point to it's by faith, not by works, but by faith that we receive this gift. But according to Philippians 1:6, who begins this work within us? Who has begun it? Who began it? Depending on your translation. He did. He did it. It's important to understand this, because oftentimes we focus on us and we forget that even our faith is a manifestation of God's grace in our lives. Our obedience and our faith continually, it's a manifestation of God's grace and His saving work. And He gets the credit. Trust me, we do not want it to be according to our works. We don't want it to be according to what we can do. Because even our most righteous efforts, our most righteous works, are filthy rags. Who has begun this work? God has. Who has brought us from the domain of darkness into His marvelous light? God has. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ? God has. God has done what I and you could not do. Romans 8:3 says, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do." Our flesh could not do it. We couldn't do it in our own effort. He had to do it for us. And He did it by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, to die on the cross for sin. And when He did that, He condemned sin in the flesh. That is why we sing this beloved song, "Jesus paid it all." We sing, "I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all." Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. God has graciously provided justification to lost sinners, such as us, through His Son, Jesus Christ. But He doesn't stop there. Salvation isn't just about we were saved when we believed. It's we are being saved. Belief in Jesus will continue to result in sanctification, in your notes. Sanctification. That's a big word that just simply means God has changed your heart and He's going to change you from the inside out. It happens progressively over our lives as Christians. He keeps working with us and transforming us more and more into the image of Christ. Which simply means when we read the Gospels and we see how Christ lived and the desires of His heart, God is going to give us that will and He's going to give us that work. God's going to do it. Sanctification. In the text, He who began this good work in you will bring it to completion. Will bring it to completion. I'm not going to bore you with too much Greek here, but this is one Greek word. Okay, and there's really kind of two parts to it. The second part of the word means to carry out a thing to the full or to accomplish. Okay? And then there's this beginning of the word that really intensifies the meaning. Okay? It brings a fuller meaning of accomplishing. Okay? It would, if we were to put it in our own tongue, it'd be like accomplishing perfectly. It's this process that's happening in our life. The word means that God is not just saved us, but that he's continuing to do this work. And it's happening, and he's doing it perfectly. And we'll see in a moment, there's an end to it. There's a goal. There's a final accomplishment that we're looking towards. God promises us sanctification. The good work that Jesus did for us on the cross is continually happening now in our lives. Today, as we sit under the teaching of God's word and we surrender to it and we say, God, help me to live this out in my life. And I know I need your spirit to enable me, and I'm dependent. And I set up disciplines in my life in order to see that dependence fulfilled. And God makes us more and more and more like his son. This, what we are diligent in, what we work so hard in, God says, I promise that I'm going to do this for you. Who does it? He does. The one who's began that work is continuing to work it out in our lives. Does that mean there's no effort from us? No, it's hard. It's hard. But beloved, if you're here today and it's hard and you're struggling, know this, he promises to fulfill this work in your life. He's going to work it out. Romans 8, 28 through 30 says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. There's another good, this good work God is doing. For those who are called according to his purpose, says this, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. That's the good that God is promising to do in your life. He's going to make you like Jesus. He's going to make you gracious and kind and filled with truth and filled with love for the Father. He's going to give you purpose and direction in your life. And that's the glory of God and the furtherance of his kingdom. Do you believe that he's going to do this? Believe it. Again, he carries this out. He's going to keep working in you. He's going to keep working with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will give you victory over your sins that you feel overcome by today. He will continue to change you and conform you and your heart into his. And that's what we're remembering today. And we're participating in thinking upon the cross and what God has done for us. And we evaluate our lives and sin comes to the surface. And we're reminded of the cross and what he's promised us. And we repent in faith. And we trust the cross is enough. And we move forward trusting that God will lead us and work out his perfect work within our lives. One last thing. As we look to the cross, as we're thinking of communion today, what assures us of this truth? What assures us that the sanctification that God promises us will actually happen? Romans 8:32, two verses later, says this, and he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. That's the Father. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? The truth that the Father would send his son to die on the cross is all that we need to know. Beloved, we do not realize how crazy what happened on the cross is. We just talk about it. I hear people talk about God and salvation, and it's unfair. Why would God let people go to hell? And they question the love of God. And do you realize that the Bible says, in the beginning, God. Do we realize that it's in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? He was in the beginning with God, and everything was made through Him, and everything is made for Him. He's the source of everything. That means He's bigger than everyone and everything. And that means that when one man, the God-man, died on the cross for sinners, do you understand that that one man dying on the cross was greater than all men and all of creation combined? Because He's the source. And the Father willfully gave the greatest prize, His greatest gift, the Son of God. The cross is more than enough to see if God would do that, if He would give that gift, which is immeasurable in its value, then He can do what He's promised for me. And He will do it, is what the verse says. The promise is guaranteed by the truth that the Son was sacrificed for you. Immeasurable worth. So who's feeling defeated and distant from the Lord? The cross is your promise. You can be assured that God is for you. He'll never let you go. He'll keep pursuing your heart, and He'll give you victory over the things that you just think, now I can't have victory. Endure, trust Him. Keep going day by day. Trust Him. Pursue Him. Be diligent. And one day you'll wake up and you'll marvel at what God has done. Sometimes it takes looking back over years and time to see what God has done, because it takes a while. But when you do, all praise and all glory to God, it's because of the cross. He does it. He promises. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. God promises justification, sanctification, and He promises to finish completely the work of our salvation in the end. Belief in Jesus will one day result in the hope of glory. And I'm sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He's bringing it to completion. What's the end of that bringing it? Glorification at the day of Jesus Christ. You see, there is a trajectory to your salvation. There is a hope. There is a trajectory of your justification and sanctification. There is a point to it. And that is the hope of glory, when we will stand before Him transformed, and for all eternity we will be crown jewels of His grace and His power of what He can do. Who does it? He does it. So we can trust that it's going to get done. It's not up to me. The final exaltation and glorification, this is the not yet of salvation that Christ has already secured for us. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, our lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Thank You, Jesus. Salvation is His work. Nothing can stop Him. God has graciously provided eternal life to lost sinners such as us. And it's through His Son, Jesus. It's through faith. What we've seen in the text is that God started it. He keeps it and continues this work of salvation, and He perfectly finishes it. What hope, what confidence, what assurance we have in Christ. So my question is this, as we now turn to the Lord's table, do you believe this? Allow the truth of the gospel and meditating on it this morning, again, of which we remember as we come to the Lord's table, the gospel, allow it to truly minister to you today. Trust in the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, maybe even for the very first time. Turn to Him in repentance and faith. He's a good master. He's a good Lord. He proved it on the cross. Lay your burdens down at the foot of the cross as we remember Jesus, as we trust, as we have confidence in Jesus. Be assured that He will never leave you, and He will continue that good work within you until the day of glory. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank You. Thank You, God, for the truth. God, so oftentimes we get distracted in this world. We get distracted by the busyness of life and things that pass away. Lord, forgive us for not continually meditating on who You are and Your grace and Your righteousness and Your justice and the peace that You have offered us through Your Son. God, as we've meditated on the reality of what eternal life is and what Jesus died to give us, help us to remember we've only scratched the surface. Lord, may we leave here striving to dig in deeper into Your Word, to know the truth, and to know You, the God of truth, that we might walk in righteousness. For the glory of Christ's name, we do ask all these things. Amen. Well, this now leads us into our time of our worship service, where we will be participating in the Lord's Supper. Before we get into it, I just want